Coming up next, I'll tell you the real reason that people stay in jobs they hate. I'll reveal the biggest scam in higher ed, and then video game employees are unionizing. And of course, we're going to coach you up. Let's go. Helping you get the competitive edge to win in work and in life by making more money and more impact. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited that you have joined us. All right, let's break this down. All right, we've seen millions and millions and millions of people change their jobs over the last year and a half. Yet still so many, I hear from them in my real life. You know, it turns out when you do what I do, Alex, and you run into people at the neighborhood pool or at the golf course, you start having a conversation, people go, well, you need to help me. So many people still endure jobs that are depleting, that are discouraging. Yeah, you may not hate the job, right? But you certainly don't love it. And you certainly don't get the juice from it. In fact, it's the opposite. You got no juice. You feel depleted and discouraged. And yet, you continue to show up. Why? Well, I'll tell you why, Ken, because I have responsibilities. I have a family to feed and bills to pay. Spare me the righteous indignation. I'm going to tell you why you will continue to show up day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out in a job that depletes you and discourages you. It's not because you're so responsible, and I'm not saying that you aren't, but stop making that excuse. The real reason that you're staying in that type of environment is not because you're responsible. It's because you'd rather be miserable than uncomfortable. I'm going to let that sit for just a second. The real reason you stay in a job that depletes you, diminishes you, discourages you, is not because you are responsible. It is because you are miserable and you would rather be miserable than uncomfortable. See, miserable, I know what to expect. I got a jerk boss who never acknowledges me except to just criticize what I'm doing. You fill in the blank. But I know what to expect from that jerk. I know what to expect of those coworkers who are gossiping all the time and so negative, and it feels like I'm listening into a soap opera as I try to do my work. Yeah, they're pathetic and miserable themselves, but hey, at least I know what to expect. I don't know whose toes I'm stepping on today, but I don't step on the toes to make you feel bad about yourself. I step on your toes to wake you up. This is a human condition. We would rather be miserable as long as we know what to expect than be uncomfortable and not know what to expect. In fact, our misery is so much more doable than our fear. Now we're stepping on everybody's toes because everybody who calls themselves a human has to deal with this fact that we humans have this amygdala, the base of our brain, which creates a response, two responses to fear, fight or flight. And it's uncomfortable. If I got to fight, that's uncomfortable. If I have to run, flight, that's uncomfortable. I don't like it. I don't want to deal with my fear. I'd rather be miserable, stuck, stay where I am, than have to fight or possibly retreat as a part of progress. So our brain tells us, don't do this. Don't do anything that's uncomfortable. And yet our heart goes, let's try. Thus, why you hear me say from time to time as I talk to callers and coach folks up that you are having a wrestling match between your head and your heart. What that simply means is your brain is going, whoa, there's some things we don't know. There's some unknowns and risks and all this stuff. And we have some fear. Slow down, back up. That's what the brain's supposed to do, by the way. but our heart's going, oh, this would be so great. This destination, this outcome would be amazing. I long for it. The heart's going, shut up, brain. Let's go for it. And so there's a wrestling match. So the reason many of you stay stuck is because at least you know what to expect. It's not scary. It's not uncomfortable. It's miserable. But you know what? At least I know what to expect, and I've become comfortable in my pain. You ever met somebody that'll put off surgery for a long time? You know, what? You're telling me a knee replacement is what's going to change your life? Yeah, it'll change my life. Why aren't you doing it? I don't want to go through all the stuff. So on the other side of uncomfortableness is a desired future. And we have to wrestle with that. I think one of the best ways to encapsulate this idea is a story that I think every parent of a child has probably had to face on some level. I remember the first time we took our three kids to Animal Kingdom, and Ty would have been about 6 or 7. And so we get up to the Kigali River Rapids, I believe is what it's still called. And it's just simply the old water ride, right? The slow, boo-doo, and you got one hill and everybody gets soaking wet. And he was initially excited about the concept because it's hotter than the surface of the sun in Orlando in the middle of the summer. And then when we get there, that moment where we got to step on the boat, and his little brain was processing everything that was going on, and all he saw was fear, and I don't know what this is actually going to be like, and no matter what Dad said, he could only see fear. And so while he initially wanted to have fun and get wet and cool off, all of a sudden, all he could see were a bunch of unknowns. And fear paralyzed him. And so what did we do? We walked the long line all the way back and didn't do it. So what do we do when we can get to the place where we can admit there's too many unknowns and I am paralyzed? What do? We simply dig into what we don't know. Dig in. Hours later in that story at Animal Kingdom, I was able to walk Ty along enough of the ride and the path to be able to let him see different parts of the ride and then see all these shiny, happy faces, many of which were kids his age, on the end of the ride. And it was then when he said, okay, Dad, I want to do it. Was he a little nervous? You bet he was. He squeezed my hand tight when we finally got in that boat. He squeezed my hand even tighter as we started. And it was really tight until we hit the first little bump. And he realized we didn't drown and we didn't die. And we were okay. What do we have to do? Dive in. See what it's like. What's it going to require? How much is it going to cost me? How much training? How long will it take? What does failure actually look like? What would have to be true for me to fail and be homeless and live under a bridge? Got to dive into it, folks. Why? Because you'll move from scared and stuck to excited and growing. Let me say it again. Why do we dive into the unknown and push ourselves to the uncomfortable? Because we'll move from scared and stuck to excited and growing. Trust me. Growth is on the other side of what's uncomfortable. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Oh, yes. Putting the momentum back in Mondays. This is the Ken Coleman Show, helping you get the competitive edge to win. Because let me tell you something, folks. If no one's told you, you are in a competition. Number one, against the you of yesterday. This is for people who really want to grow and max out in their life. You are competing against the you of yesterday. And then there will be times where you are competing against people in the workplace. You want that promotion? You want to get on that ladder? Yeah, somebody else wants it too, whether it's internal or external. So, hey, in case anybody's wondering, we got a lot of new people coming in all the time. If this makes me old school, I'm old school, but I believe in competing. I believe the human spirit longs to compete, and there are days where we're not as good as the other person, and it's okay. I don't think we crush little souls when we tell them that they lost the soccer game 6-2. I don't. But I do think we crush their spirit when we don't teach them the difference between winning and losing, and that life has winners and losers. And it is the losing that allows me to be the winner that I'm created to be. The great lessons are from losing. So competition's a good thing. I didn't say cutthroat competition. I just said competition. And you are in a competition. I'm your coach, here to help you win. And one of the ways I do that is keep you informed from the news with my invaluable opinion. Let's go. It's time for In the News. Okay, I'm taking this issue on because I think this is coming to a workplace near you sooner than you probably think. What am I talking about? Unions. Now, if you look at the history of work in America, you know, there was a time where I really do believe the concept, if we want to call it that, of unionizing was needed. It has then, since then, rather, been ruined by politics, because politics ruins everything. If you don't agree with me, try it at Thanksgiving dinner and see how it goes. Politics getting involved in unions has ruined the concept of a union, and it's made it worse for everybody. I know some of you disagree with me. That's okay. We can still be friends. But I believe this is coming to a workplace near you. I think this is a new trend, Alex, and I think this is going to be more commonplace. Why? I'll explain in a second. But first, the story, NPR. By the way, I got to say something, because we have a lot of conservative folks, and I'm sure liberal folks, and then people in the middle, whatever. Every time sometimes I see people when I source NPR, some of my conservative friends. Ken, why are you sourcing a liberal news outlet? It's news. Relax. I'll give you the opinion, and then you react to my opinion. Here we go. By the way, did you hear the sound of that? That was different with the two-page versus this. So this is higher. And then if you do two pages, I just discovered this. It's a little different. Oh, and I hit the mic with my wedding ring. So that added all kinds of new sounds for our YouTube crazies. They love when I do this. And by the way, if anybody wonders if ADHD is a thing, you just saw it. It's real right there. Alex and Joe love it when I get distracted. Okay, NPR story. In a major video game company first, Activision Blizzard employees are joining a union. Workers in one division at Activision Blizzard, the major video game company behind popular franchises such as Call of Duty, Overwatch, and Candy Crush. Speaking of crushing people's souls, that Candy Crush will do it. I've seen too many adults on airplanes and in DMVs that have lost their soul to that game. Boy, I'm offending everybody today. The employees unionizing are 28 quality assurance testers at Raven Software, which is a subsidiary of Activision Blizzard. Spokesperson Kelvin Liu said, "We believe that an important decision that will impact the entire Raven software studio of roughly 350 people should not be made by 19 Raven employees." I agree. I agree with that. And we're talking about 28 quality assurance testers is where this all started. And those that voted, only 22 voted, 19 votes for unionizing, 3 against. Now, where's this come from? Because this is a leadership issue. Should never get to this point. So leaders, you're worried about this happening in your shop, I'm going to tell you how to avoid this kind of stuff. Workers say they've been frustrated for years, citing a lack of communication from management, low pay, and long hours. So unions and situations like this, they don't develop out of nowhere. I'm not for unions. I've made it very clear. But also let me tell you, I'm for people. And my heart is for these people who have gotten to a place of frustration because of poor leadership. They feel that they're not heard. And so when somebody feels not heard, whether you meant to or not, leaders, they will then act like this. They will leave you or they will unite against you. Let me say it again. If you don't make your people feel valued and not heard and not seen, hear me say, they will leave you. This is the primary response. Or they will unite against you. And unionizing is simply people uniting against you, leaders. So can this be avoided? Yeah. Yeah. Years and years of frustration, no excuse. That's poor leadership. Shouldn't be years and years of anything other than years and years of loyalty and retention because you care for your people. You do your best to care for people. Now, listen, you're not going to be able to keep everybody, but you can have a company with high engagement and thus higher retention, greater productivity, and greater profitability. You got to care for people. There's three human needs that must be met at work, leaders. That means you have to meet these needs. And turns out that these needs aren't extraordinary. They are. People need to see meaning and purpose in their work. They need to feel it and see it. They need to be recognized for their unique contribution, privately and publicly. And third, they need a relationship with their leader. They don't just want it, they need it. And I don't mean a relationship like, oh yeah, we go have drinks once a month, happy hour. I mean like they know that you know them, that you care for them, you know what's going on in their personal life, you care about them, you care what happens to them, you care about what happens for them. They feel like you're actively engaged in helping them win in their work. Pretty simple, leaders. You do those, you meet those three needs, guess what doesn't happen? Employees forming a union. They won't even think about it. In fact, they'll be united in telling people out there how great of a company it is. And thus the axiom becomes, leaders, if you take care of the people you have, they'll help you get the people you need. So if you're listening right now, can't get people? Well, start with your people. All right, next story. Oh, this is in the category of I told you so. I'm going to try not to crow. But I got some data for you out there that get a little offended when I dare to question the value of higher education. So we go to the data. Business Insider points out that millennials and Gen Zers have been told, as have my generation, Gen X, that a master's degree is the new bachelor's. But it's really been driven home with this younger generation, meaning that the minimum level of education needed to be very successful is no longer a four-year degree. Got to have that master's or higher. More than 3 million students were enrolled in a graduate program in 2020. That's 1 million more than were enrolled in 2000. Master students only account for 12% of all college goers, but they're burdened with 26% of all student debt. Now, there's no question that law degrees or PhDs can lead to significant higher salaries, but they also lead to greater student debt. Masters do earn more on average than those with a bachelor's degree, but only by 18%. Preston Cooper, a researcher at the Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity, measured the return on investment of nearly 14,000 grad programs. He found that 40% of master's degrees had no return at all. And he found that 62% of MBAs, Masters in Business Administration, which is the most popular of master's degrees, provided, you ready for this? No return on investment. He even estimated that 32% of such programs had a negative return on investment. It's status. It ain't success. Ask yourself, is a higher ed degree the only way or the best way to get where I want to go? Then decide. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, equipping you, encouraging you, coaching you to get the competitive edge, to make more money and make more impact, doing what you were born to do. That's what the show is about. And one of the ways we do that is bring you a ton of resources, some outside of the building, and ZipRecruiter is one of them. The job search, if you're ready to go, you're inching up to the line, you're ready, but you think about how sucky and lonely it can be, and it can be. Give my friends at ZipRecruiter a try. It's free to you, so there's no risk, no commitment, just the number one hiring site in the United States. With their artificial intelligence, the minute you sign up a profile, they begin pitching you. Your profile gets more attention because companies are paying them. And then if they say, hey, we want to interview you, you get an email and boom, one click, you apply. you do in your life while they're working for you. ZipRecruiter.com. Sign up for free today at ZipRecruiter.com. All right, let's go to the phones here. We got Chad in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, home of the Steelers. Chad, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
You bet. What's up?
Yeah, first I wanted to say I really appreciated your message on, I believe it was Thursday, about taking mental health time from work. I believe that's very important, and really appreciated hearing that on your podcast.
Thank you.
To get to my question for you, so I started, a little background, I started a new career about a year ago, and I left a really good job with good benefits in order for what I thought was a better opportunity. And the job has been good. The people are amazing that I work with, but it doesn't feel as fulfilling as I would have hoped, as I was expecting. And it also isn't as financially fulfilling as I hoped, as I'm now locked into salary for the next 5 years. And with inflation being the way it is, that's kind of hurt over the past year as well. So I wondered what you would suggest as far as maybe doing a side hustle or something to where I can still feel the passion for what I'm doing, and then help meet some financial goals as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. It sounds like you're dealing with unmet expectations, and that can be tremendously frustrating.
Yeah, I'd say so. I thought the work would be more fulfilling. I thought it would be
invigorating. Yeah. Tell me what the disconnect is. You took the job and you thought it was going to be fulfilling. Now it's not. Where's the disconnect?
I think maybe I had higher expectations of what I was going to be involved in. I thought that I would be basically busier doing what I felt like I was going to be doing.
Based on what they told you in the interview process?
Not really, no. It could be based on just expectations that I had of what the work would be of the job description.
Possibly. All right, now listen, I know you're already frustrated, so I don't want to kick you while you're down, but you know I got to coach you up, right, Chad? You want me to coach you?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Have you learned anything from this?
Absolutely.
Created expectations. What's that?
I learned that the grass isn't always greener.
That's true. But I think the most important lesson I want to make sure that you learned is not to, and boy, am I guilty of this. Oh my gosh, Chad, let me just tell you something, Chad. I might as well be talking to me right now. I'm not even talking to you, I'm talking to me. But I think in talking to me, it's going to help you. You got me?
Yes, sir.
You've got to be careful not to envision things based on hope. You can only expect things that have been communicated clearly. In other words, if somebody shows you a ladder and they say, if you do this, this, and this, it is a great possibility that you will move up the ladder at this point, and this way. Now that I can put expectation on that. Someone has given me a tactical, practical vision, and there's some expectation based on what they've said and what they said. If I do this, this can happen. But to take a job and go without asking any questions, without seeing that ladder, if you will, to go, boy, I think that this could happen. Folks, let me just tell you something. I did that when I joined Ramsey Solutions. I did not join as a Ramsey personality. They made it very, very clear that I was coming in as a host. And I was going to do multiple things that were very, very public, but that they were going to hold off on the personality, Ramsey personality conversation based on the timing of where the company was, based on what the development of my content might look like, could look like, should look like, whatever. They were very clear. But let me just tell you something. I came in going, yeah, I get it. I'm going to blow you guys away, and I'm going to be here, and then I'll be doing this, and I'll be doing this. And I thought that happened within 12 months, and it didn't. Nathan smiling at me because he was there. Thought it would happen in 24 months, Nathan. No. I thought 36 months for sure. Didn't happen. Turned out it was 3.5 years. Was that Ramsey Solutions' fault? Nope. It was my fault. So I'm not picking on you, Chad. I'm picking on myself because I think there are a lot of us out there, and it's pretty normal in the human condition to go, okay, I see a good opportunity. Grass looks greener, but it looks greener not because of what is, but what I think could be. But could be, while it is positive to be optimistic, it can also be detrimental if the could be and the optimism is based on hope, not fact. Does that make sense, Chad?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think I do have a path yeah. that they've outlined, but like you just said, I felt like I thought you'd beat it. Going to go above and beyond.
Yeah. I know, bro. I do this all the time. My wife tells me all the time, I'm forever overestimating how quickly we can get a certain part of a trip done or how quickly I can get my backyard fence stained this weekend. Oh, yeah. Get that done in a couple hours. Yeah, okay. 4.5 hours later. Yeah. So this is something we got to be careful of. That's the lesson. Now, here's the deal. That was kind of the coaching piece that I wanted to make sure you get going forward, because what I don't want you to do is resent this place based on where you are. So if the salary stuff is coming down the line at the pace at which they said it would, is that the case? You see the salary growth just a little bit further out based on what they said?
Yes. So the salary is kind of locked in for a couple years now.
Right. And do you like the work?
It is supposed to grow. I do enjoy it. It's not a huge passion of mine, but
is it setting you up for the future?
Fit. It is.
Okay. Well, look, there's nothing keeping you from a year or two from now. You're not going to look like a flake if at 2 years in you feel like the development's not happening fast enough and you can get it somewhere else. You can always do that. But in the interim, your question was, short term, is it okay to go make some side money to make up the difference? Yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you why, Chad. That's a good decision. Number one, you've already thought of it, which tells me you can do it. Number two, it'll help ease the frustration because you're bringing in more money and that'll give you more patience. So I like that move. It's a good move. Very good move. How many of you want coaching like that, but you aren't willing to call in on the show? I'm waiting for a second because in my mind, lots of people are going, that's me, Ken. And so that's why we've launched a pilot for career coaching. It's called Ramsey Career Coaching. Very similar to how I do this on the show, but I've got to do this in 5 or 6 minutes. I got to be quick. Got to help you quick. But if you want deeper dive coaching, like you just heard or like you hear every day, I've built a team of professional coaches that are certified outside of this organization. They're professional men and women. They've been doing it a long time. They got a great heart for people, which is part of the deal, or you can't be associated with me and Ramsey Solutions. We're going to limit this pilot to 30 people. So the first 30 people that sign up for coaching with one of my coaches, you are going to get blessed quickly and very affordably. They don't cost as much as me either. So that's a good thing. But they're very, very experienced. They're going to coach you like I would. To find a career coach that's right for you, KenColeman.com/coaching. KenColeman.com/coaching. Let me say this again. I have coaches in multiple areas of my life. You need coaching. And a Ramsey career coach with the experience that these men and women have, they'll take you to the next level. Go to KenColeman.com/coaching. That music means I got to get out of here. But remember this, you matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Call of the Day.
Check out our new Ramsey Call of the Day podcast. It'll give you a quick hit of advice about life and money in under 10 minutes. Listen to the Ramsey Call of the Day, wherever you listen to podcasts.